I should like to draw your attention and to a verse here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and ask you to consider it in various ways with me this morning. So Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, the familiar birth narrative accounts of Jesus told to us by Luke. I want to ask you to ponder then this verse 19, what we read of Mary. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I suppose that it is good at times to ponder, to treasure up, to store up things in our minds and to grapple with them, to ponder them. None more is that the case when we think of what Mary is grappling with and pondering here in her mind. This great event, the coming to the world of Jesus Christ, his birth, the great mystery of his birth, as the baby in Bethlehem laid in a manger, and all that is happening around this, as we are told it by Luke in his account of the good news of Jesus Christ who has come to us. Of course, Luke tells us things here in his gospel, narrative, many things that the other writers, the other gospel writers, do not tell us about the birth of Jesus. Matthew is the other writer who tells us some of the details of the very early life of Jesus. John tells us in his own very remarkable way, kind of a theological prologue to his gospel, to tell us, to open up his account of the good news of the coming to this world of Jesus Christ. But Luke here does this in his own way. Luke is amongst other things a historian, and the details that he wants to bring us all the way through his gospel account, he tells us and brings us some most astonishing details, some most astonishing aspects to the account of Jesus. And here in the very opening chapters, he brings to us a remarkable and fascinating account of the happenings that are taking place. The account opens with the angel that comes to visit Zechariah and to tell him some truly remarkable things. God is speaking again to his people. God is doing remarkable things, and he is announcing it to his people. Similarly, the angel comes to Mary, and a remarkable message is brought to her in the first chapter. There's the birth of John the Baptist itself, and then the birth of Jesus, which is also accompanied by these remarkable happenings that we are told. God wants his world, God wants the world, the peoples of the world, to know of the astonishing things that are happening, of the remarkable way in which he is coming to this world in and through the birth of this babe in Jesus. We are told of the shepherds and of the way in which they hear the message and are told of where the babe has been laid in the manger, and of how they go to find this child and to worship. And then how the story goes on from there. And as the story continues to us, it isn't just the birth narrative. It is the very early life of Jesus that Luke wants to bring to us in a way that none of the other gospel writers do. So there are many aspects to the story that Luke wants to tell us and that God wants us to know about. But just as astonishing and as varied and as remarkable is all that is happening around the birth of Jesus in that way is also the response of the various peoples that are involved in what is happening, in what God is doing. There's the response of Zechariah, who in the first place was struck dumb for that period of time. There's Mary, and when she hears the good news, she goes to visit her cousin. There is the Elizabeth's response to Mary coming to her. There's Mary's own song of praise and of wonder in relation to what God is doing. Then when at the birth of Jesus itself, there is the response of the angels, the angelic chorus. The angels are the first to respond to the great good news of what God is doing before man ever does. Heaven responds with this hymn of praise. There's the worship of the shepherds. There's the way in which they go on to tell other people. We could go on and on to consider all of these various aspects, all of that is happening here, all the wonders that we are told about, and of all of the remarkable responses that we are told about of the people who are caught up in God's purpose unfolding here in this remarkable way. And of course, all of that is very apposite. It is all very right. It is all very good, because this is the great event of history that is happening, that is unfolding before these people, and all caught up in this person, Jesus, the Savior, the Lord, the Christ, as the shepherds are told about, God who has come to us, Emmanuel, as one of the other gospel writers tells us, the birth of this child, the Christ, the Savior, the Lord has come, and the whole world is changing around him. All these responses then matter, especially to Luke, the way in which the message that accompanies this birth of this child seems to matter, that this message of good news that first comes from God through his messengers, the angels himself, and then out into the wider world, not least through the shepherds themselves. And then there's Mary. Mary's response seems, at surface level at least, to stand in stark contrast to much else that is happening, not least to those who are now going on to tell others all that is happening. We read of Mary that in the face of, in the midst of all these astonishing happenings, that she keeps all of these things. That means that she treasures all these things, that she stores up all of these things, and that she ponders them. She ponders them in her heart, in her mind. She chews them over. She thinks about them. She asks questions of them. I want to ask you to spend a little while with me this morning, pondering ourselves. Perhaps there is nothing that profound here. And yet, we are told that Mary does this twice over at least. And it seems to me that there is something very important and significant. In what Mary is doing, it forms a part of this birth narrative of Jesus into the world. Mary treasures up, she stores up, she ponders what is happening. I want to ask you to ponder it in various ways. That Mary herself is a witness to what is happening. She herself has news, a message, aspects of it that need to be passed on. I want to ask you to ponder the unique role that Mary has in this and what that, some of what that might say to us. But I want to ask you to consider just what it is that she is doing and how she is not only pondering partly the way in which her life itself is caught up in this, but the events themselves and the significance of the coming of this child to the world. Part of the narrative then of the birth of Jesus is that witnesses matter. Those who see have a message to tell. That's a very important part all of the way through scripture, particularly when we come to the New Testament, because something monumental and truly great, perhaps not great, indeed not great, in the way in which the world understands greatness, majesty and image and power, the kind of power at least that the world itself worships. None of that is so, and much more than that is not so here in what we are told about the birth of Jesus. But witnesses matter. If witnesses matter sometimes to testify to great events in the world in the way that we would normally understand great events, for instance, this is set against the background of Caesar Augustus in that sense. He would have had messengers to go and to proclaim what he considered to be truly significant about what was happening in him. Well, how much more so when we come to Jesus, when we come to what God is doing? Because here, all of the world's ways of understanding, all of the world's ways of looking at what is significant and true and real become, as it were, turned almost on their head. Or we become turned the right way up, rather. Because this is God. This is God who here is bringing his purposes to fulfillment, and witnesses matter. Now, Mary becomes a great witness in herself to an awful lot of what is happening. The shepherds are part of the very early witness too. They receive the message of the angels and they go to share that. They go to find the Christ child and then they share it. They are the first ones to take the message on in that sense. But my point is that no less so is Mary a great witness to all that is happening. There are indeed biblical scholars, not all scholars of the Bible would necessarily agree with this as I understand it. And yet I think that there is a profound point that is being made here. Many biblical scholars have indeed wondered if when Luke is making these references here to Mary, he says the same thing incidentally later on in the same chapter. I don't know if I can find it just at the moment. I cannot. But he says something very similar about Mary later on as well. And there are many biblical scholars who would say that what Luke is saying to us here is that he has received these accounts of the early life of Jesus from Mary herself. Because Mary witnessed, because Mary saw what was happening, because nobody else saw this in the same kind of a way, all that she would have witnessed, Luke himself has got this material, has got these accounts from her. I am thinking as I say that, that Paul, of course, stresses just how important this kind of thing is. Remember how it is in 1 Corinthians, I think it is chapter 15, how he there talks about the resurrection of Jesus. And he is very keen for the Corinthians, who are asking all manner of questions and beginning to misunderstand the significance of the resurrection of the crucified Christ. He says to them, well, there are many, many witnesses to the resurrected Jesus. And he says that Jesus, the resurrected one, appeared to 500 people at once, many of whom, he says, are still alive. It is as if he is saying to them, if you are questioning, if you are doubting the resurrection of Jesus, go find these people, ask them for them yourself, because their witness matters. Now, the same is so here. These early narratives of Luke that Luke brings to us, I wonder where we would be without them. All of these great stories of the angel, it is like a great preparation to the ministry of Jesus that leads to his death and then to the resurrection itself. Here, this is almost an equivalent to John's prologue. Here, Luke is bringing us these early stories, but they matter. They speak to us. They are part of the way in which God wants to testify to us today of Jesus himself, who was born into the world. This great happening, this great event that has happened. Well, biblical scholars say, those who have studied these things in depth, Luke is saying to us that it is Mary that has told him this. And some of them sometimes almost picture the way in which that might have happened. You know, that we know that, or we believe anyway, that the gospel writer Luke was a traveling companion of Paul the Apostle, and that maybe on one time when they went to this part of the world, that they sought out Mary herself. Luke wanted to garner the historical evidence, the historical witness for all that had happened around the birth, the ministry, the life, and then the death and the resurrection of Jesus himself. That this account then is told in this full way to the world. He says that kind of thing in his very opening verses, of course. He is writing an account of these things that most surely have happened and have been believed amongst us. It is an interesting thought to imagine Luke calling on Mary, presumably a fairly elderly lady maybe at the time, and Mary telling him of all that she had seen happen. Because, as Luke says, she had kept all these things. She had pondered them in her heart. His language actually speaks of something that she has been doing for a long time. The good news is centered in an event that has happened. This coming of Christ to us. And Mary, Here is the second part that I want to ask you to ponder with me. If the witness matters, if what Mary saw that she passes on matters, so too does her unique role in the birth of Jesus Christ. As we move on to that, perhaps one of the things that we should say as we come to this Christmas time is that perhaps what we can say of what God has meant and means to us and of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, perhaps it matters that we, in whatever way we can, bear witness to that. That we testify to that. Where would we have been without Mary testifying and witnessing to all that she saw and all that she heard? Part of that is that Mary's role in all that is happening is unique. She has a unique purpose, a unique role under God to be involved in what was happening at this time in her particular way. Many people make a great deal out of that, of course, in appropriate ways. Mary becomes somebody who is worshipped and all of this. That's not what I am saying. That's not what I am saying. The events that we are reading of here are all of God's doing, are all of God's grace. It is the account, the fulfillment of God's plan and purposes through the ages, from before the created order, before anything was. We read that God had put this into place, and we are reading here of the way in which God at this moment in time fulfilled this. But nonetheless, it is remarkable that when he does so, he does not do so apart from his people. The others are important. I mentioned just a few moments ago, Luke seems to want to stress to us that this was all happening at the time of Caesar Augustus. Indeed, Luke is stressing to us, I think, I would put it even stronger, that it is because of this decree that Caesar Augustus had called for the world to be taxed, that these events happened in the way in which God had said they would in the coming to Bethlehem. God, who uses even the secular, the pagan powers to fulfill his purposes. The people that are here matter. They are not the central event. That is all of God. But they matter. Zechariah and Elizabeth. Of course, Jesus himself is the central figure and what God is doing in and through the birth of Jesus. But Mary, too, matters, has her role to play. She saw things, she witnessed things, as we were just saying. She has a purpose and a God, even at this time now. As I say that, you know, I am reminded of when our little girl, Dorry, was born, and I'm saying nothing here that is necessarily profound, and yet, Perhaps these things need to be said. The part that Helen played, her role as a mother through the early life of our little girl and still now, is not a role that I could play as the father. They are different things. They are complementary, but they are different things. Mary here, her unique role in the midst of all that is happening in the birth of the Christ child. And I wanted to say, therefore, that perhaps one of the things that we should ponder and remind ourselves of, it's part of what I believe Mary was pondering, was the way in which she herself was caught up in these events that changed the world. And I wanted to say that perhaps part of what we should ponder at Christmas time, therefore, is that, and please don't misunderstand what I am saying here. I'm not talking of pride, let alone idolatry. But nonetheless, we each have a deep significance. I am not talking either there of what is in the modern world a kind of obsession of individualism. But I am saying that to God, we are each deeply significant. That is part of what Mary, I believe, in her own humble way, was pondering. Part of what the angel says to her is of her role. Part of her song reflects that, that she sings of a great praise to God. Well, it is so of each of us. Go right the way back to the creation stories themselves. We are made in the image of God. Now, this is not the place to explore what that means. There are many sermons upon sermons to be preached on that very thing. But part of what it is saying is that human life is sanctified, is dignified, and that each person matters. Mary herself, one of the remarkable things is that the shepherds here become so important too. They would have been written off as insignificant people. They were almost outsiders. One of the main stresses in the Gospel of Luke is that the outsider, those people who you just would not expect, they matter to Jesus, they matter to God. Mary here, if indeed she has been pondering and treasuring and storing these things up in her heart and her mind, over the years that Luke asked her about it, is looking back over her life. Jesus says to us that all of the hairs of our head are numbered by God. He looks to the birds around us, or around the people to whom he was talking in the day, and pointed to them and said that God cares for each of them. Not one of them falls to the ground if it is not without the knowledge of God. And then he looks at the people straight in their face, as it were, and he says, how much more does God care for you? How much more is God's concern for you? And perhaps that is part of what we need to hear as part of the Christmas good news, that God has come to this world for his people. that to God we have that intrinsic worth. It isn't just in his care that we have worth. It isn't just that Mary here is cared for by God. It is that she has a role, a purpose. Do you remember that remarkable story of Jesus in his ministry, actually towards the time when he was moving towards the cross? He looked out and he saw a widow putting in two small, very, very almost insignificant, almost worthless coins into the temple treasury. And he said that that was of great worth, what she was doing, what she was giving. And that is so. We might look at the situation around us in the present world, in the present day, the virus and the pandemic. And for many people, and it will affect all of us this Christmas time, for many people, it will affect them greatly this Christmas time. And I think that sometimes it can leave us thinking, what is the worth in the midst of this? Well, perhaps part of what this is saying to us is that in almost ways that might seem to us to be insignificant, there is great worth. You know, I am reminded of what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, I think, of the creation that is yearning. And he talks about the way in which the Spirit yearns within us. The Psalms pick up much of this, particularly the Psalms of Lament and others. I didn't read from one of the Psalms of Lament, but it was there in the background of that psalm. Perhaps even our yearning, our prayers to God, in the face of all that is happening in the world, matter to him greatly. Mary looks back over her life, about which she must have had many, many questions. She's pondered. I wonder, as we look back over the last year, as we look at our lives, as we, at this Christmas time, perhaps face services for some of us, if not many of us, where we cannot meet together as we would like to, where our time of meeting together is even restricted. Do not believe for a moment that God cannot find in us and with us and in our meeting together a point and a purpose in that remarkable way. I want almost to go on to talk about what Paul says about his own life as another crying example, really, when he says that I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him. Against that day, Paul was there facing death itself, or so he believed. He was there living in the last days. He was facing a trial that he believed was going to be the last trial that he was going to face for the proclamation of the good news to the world of Jesus Christ. And he speaks about all that which he has committed to God. And he is himself looking back in that right through to the future, all that he has committed of his own life and surely of his labours too. And Paul went through very difficult times, times when he was imprisoned, and yet still these times he committed them to God. To God's keeping. And perhaps that is a part of what we need to hear this Christmas time. And then just ever so briefly, really, I've gone on to... I shouldn't have spent so long, in a sense, on those earlier on those earlier points, and yet I think they matter deeply. The worth of a witness, the worth of a testimony, the worth of the message that we proclaim is worth much to God. The life that God has given us and has sanctified to us to live for his glory matters. His caring for us, his valuing us and worth that he finds in us. If we give our lives back to him who has sought us. Can I just ask you, perhaps in the wrong place in a sense, in our thoughts here, and yet maybe not. The words that Luke uses here to describe what Mary, her response, her reaction, her particular way of responding to all that has been happening around her, is a vivid picture. She's kept all these things. That's a word that is more powerful than it sounds. She's treasured it up. Sometimes people have particular things that are significant and important to them. And rather than risking losing them or damaging them, they put them to one side. They keep them in a safe place. Sometimes people forget where that safe place is. So important is what it is that they're trying to protect. But they know where it is. They protect it. They defend it. They keep it. They store it up that they might go back to it and return to it, that they might look at it and pore over it, as it were, in that sense. This is the kind of picture that we are being brought here. This isn't just a casual thing. Mary is defending, is storing up, is protecting. Although it's not something physical, as it were, it's not something material, it's not an object. She is doing this in her mind, in her memory, in her heart, as Luke tells us here. And there's a sense about it that she has been doing this over the course of the years, going right back to the time of these events themselves, and then over the years, she has been storing and protecting and grappling with and asking questions of and pondering all that happened, that both included herself, but particularly, of course, and here it is, here's where really I wanted to come, the point to which I wanted to get to, what really she is pondering. Is not her own life caught up in it, although that in what is happening and what has happened, of course it is that. I think we should say that and not be frightened to say it. But it is principally, of course, the events of the birth of Jesus itself. If we imagine or think that she has indeed been poring over all of this for many, many years. Perhaps we are to include in that not only the birth of Jesus, but the life, the ministry, and how all of that moves. In the end, like a set course to his death for the sins of the world and to his resurrection. Perhaps it is all of that, although the focus here is on the early part of the life of Jesus that she has stored up and has pondered. Sometimes we can end up in a place where we, particularly in a world like ours, in a culture like ours, we can come to a place where we almost think that the the ground, the basis of our faith, of our relationship with God, is our experience. Or dare I say it, in a world particularly like ours, feelings. The good, whilst those things matter, the good news of God speaks of an event that has happened. Something that has happened, a shockingly joyful yet challenging, deeply challenging event, which turns everything upside down and inside out, or actually the right way up. Centered in the coming of Jesus to this world. That event itself looks back on all the prophecies of Scripture, of God's word, all the ways in which God announced and proclaimed to the world that he was fulfilling his purposes, that he was working out his purposes of redemption and of salvation. And here we are, the coming of Jesus to the world. We cannot mistake it. Here in Luke's gospel, all the proclamations of the angels in particular, and all that Mary would have witnessed and all that she would have seen, is the announcement that this now, this great work of God's redemption is being fulfilled, although it is happening in newer, in richer, in bigger ways than anybody could have imagined. The Creator God has come to us in Jesus himself to defeat evil, to redeem all things ultimately, to reconcile his people to himself through the sacrifice of himself for the sins of the world. Perhaps I should spend a great deal longer, I'm sure I should, pondering and trying to unfold that rich gospel, that rich good news to the world. But it is that ultimately which Mary here has stored up in her heart and in her mind and has pondered time and time and time again. Part of that is because she was the witness of so much that happened. Part of that is her unique role in all that was happening around her. But the event itself, the person, Jesus the Saviour, the light of the world that has been born amongst us. And I wanted to simply say, as I've said at the opening of our thoughts, in many ways, perhaps there is nothing particularly profound in what we are saying here. Perhaps there's nothing particularly profound and new in any of our thoughts here this morning. But I wanted to suggest that whilst it is important that we give ourselves in discipleship, following the call of Christ, telling the good news in our living and in word, particularly if we are called to that, that there is also something deeply important about what Mary is doing here. We live in a busy world. There are many, many distractions. It is interesting that Luke almost wants us to see that. All the world is here on the move, meeting the demands of this census. This is the way in which he puts it. All the world is almost missing what is happening here in the coming of Jesus. That is so today too. Jesus speaks of the ways in which we can become so distracted, so taken away. I think of the meeting of Jesus with that other Mary, Mary and Martha. And that was his comment to Martha, that she was distracted by so many things, and that she should look to the example of her sister Mary at that time. I'm sure that Mary herself could be distracted so often. To pause, to stop, to hear the fear not of the angels to the shepherds. There might be many, many things that are frightening us today. We might look at what is happening in the world, and we might be deeply fearful of the uncertainty, of the threat of a virus. Here is the great good news that we need to ponder. We need to, as it were, put up the resistance of the fear not. Be still. Ponder. And may God himself reveal himself and more of the wonder of what he has done for us in the coming of the Christ child as we do so. To store up and to ponder the event of the coming of Christ, to bring to us his eternal kingdom in the defeat of sin and of death and of life that springs eternal. At the heart of this Christmas time, with all that is happening around us, in the strange times in which we live, let us share with Mary, in this sense at least, that we see the deep significance and ponder and don't even stop there. Trust ourselves to the one who comes to us in God's grace and love. Amen.